This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Caroline Perama from Chateau Serrance. How are you?
Thank you. Very well.
And you're from the appellation Serrance?
Yes.
Which has got the S on the end that you actually do say in French this time?
Yes.
You're saying that normally in French you don't say the S. That's what my wife keeps telling me anyway.
Depends where you are, but usually when if you are south of the La Loire River, you pronounce the S. And specifically in our area, in southwest of France, you pronounce the S. So Château de Serrance. No, it's complicated. I agree. It's very complicated.
That's right. The region is quite an interesting one. Janice Robinson, in her book, described Serrance as the...
Perhaps the rarest wine of Bordeaux. Or
no, she described
the smallest it as appellation, the most confidential appellation.
No, she described it as the little... mainly forgotten appellation.
Yes, yes, she's right. It's a teeny appellation today,
yep.
Because Serrance is a sweet appellation, just behind Sauternes and Barsac. So Sauternes is well known everywhere in the world.
Yep.
Barsac is just behind, and Serrance is forbidden. You're right, because we are small.
How big is Serrance?
Today the whole appellation is 21 hectares.
21 hectares?
Yes, and
that
we
is
are
tiny.
And it's very tiny, and we are around 10 producers producing these sweet wines.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential of production at Serrance, the superficie of the appellation, if you want, to produce sweet wines of Serrance is 800 hectares.
Okay.
So you have to imagine in 1955, we produce Serrance sweet wine on 800 hectares.
Oh, okay.
And step by step, because we belong to the Grave area, so that's a specificity of this small appellation. The winemaker, the producers produce more and more dry white with the same grape varieties, with the Sémillon mainly,
mm-hmm.
And less sweet wine.
Okay.
But today, I think we are at the lowest production we never had. It's starting again to have an interest because the Serrance wines, they have something extraordinary, and we are some producers really convinced about this tiny appellation, and we are producing again. And,
okay. The producers, if they're producing white wines or red wines in the appellation, whether it's a dry white wine, it has to be called Grave, is that right?
Yes, that's unique because we belong to the Grave area. Sauternes and Barsac doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But Serrance belongs to the Grave area. So that's a positive point because we produce the three colors, and that's very rare. We produce Grave in red, in dry white, and we produce Serrance sweet wines at the same place, on the same estates.
Yep.
But the bad point is we produce less and less sweet because the markets were more and more difficult. And so the decision of producing sweet or dry white is the winemakers take this decision in August every year, and they can change their decision depending on the weather.
The sweetness level of these Serrances is Janice Robinson, because I found it quite hard to find much information on Serrance, but she described it as somewhere between Premier Cote de Bordeaux, which is a sort of a sweet wine, but not a really sweet wine, and Barsac. Where would you put it in terms of sweetness?
We are around 95 grams.
95.
So it's a nice concentration.
Yep.
It's very interesting.
95 grams before fermentation or after fermentation?
After fermentation.
After fermentation. Okay. So
and so that's the we call it residual sugar in the
yep.
wine.
Yep.
We are around 95 grams.
Yeah.
You okay. imagine Sauternes, and you can be around 150 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting because the name of Serrance is the name of the Siron River.
Yep.
You know the Siron River.
Is that the one that goes through Sauternes and Barsac?
It goes to Sauternes and Barsac.
Yeah,
between
yeah.
Sauternes and Barsac.
It's spelled slightly differently, though.
It's C-I-R-O-N. And it was the name was Sirionnais, In Latin, yeah. and that was the name of the village,
yeah,
of Cérons, mm-hmm, because the Ciron was going into the river, the Garonne River, just behind the Château de Cérons, just behind the church.
Oh, okay.
But at the 18th century, monks decided to move the river between Barsac and Sauternes, yeah, because they wanted to build water mill, and so the best declination was between Prégnac and Sauternes. So that's why they moved the river a little bit. But Ciron, the river, is the same name of Cérons. And today, Cérons, the Cérons village and appellation, is a little bit at the limit of the microclimate, of, yeah, this fog coming in the morning, yeah, thanks to this...
So I was going to say, do you get foggy mornings, which gives you botrytis?
Of course, but we are a little bit at the limit of this phenomenon, this microclimate. And that's why the botrytis takes more time to arrive. We start the harvest later as Sauternes and Barsac, usually. We finish it later. And so the balance, the concentration by the botrytis is the same. So the process of picking is the same. Everything, the vinification is exactly the same. But the balance between the sweetness and the acidity of the wine, so the concentration by botrytis is less. The wines are less concentrated by the botrytis as in Barsac and Sauternes.
Okay, and also because they're picked later, the acidity levels will be a little bit lower as well.
Yes, it's lower because we are on a limestone subsoil.
Oh, limestone normally helps your acidity, doesn't it?
We have a great acidity in the wines. You will taste it in the red and in the dry whites. You find it everywhere.
Yeah.
We have a great acidity, and this balance with the sweetness is extraordinary because sometimes you forget it's sweet.
Yeah.
The balance is extraordinary. So Cérons has a real specificity in terms of tasting and a real personality.
Just for the listeners, because I've never actually covered botrytis sweet wines in any detail with listeners, you'd be thinking after 15 years of doing a podcast, you'd cover it, but we haven't. I don't think we have anyway. I can't remember it. Do you want to just tell us a wee bit about what botrytis is and why misty mornings are really important?
So the botrytis is a fungus.
Yeah.
It exists everywhere in the vineyard, everywhere in the world.
Yeah, I think they call it grey rot sometimes, don't
they? Yes, grey rot. But grey rot is not a noble rot.
No.
Voilà. Grey rot is like a disease, and we really don't like to have it in the vineyard. It's very unique, this microclimate, coming from three different points. You have this tiny river called Le Ciron. Most of the time it's underground, but it comes from the forest, the land forest.
Oh, yeah.
So it's in the shadow. And the temperature of the water is very, very, very cold. It's difficult to swim in the summer inside. It's really, really cold. And this river arrive into the Garonne River. And the Garonne River, you know, come from Spain. It's a large and not deep river. Yeah. So with warm water. There is nothing happened during the summer and during the whole year. But as the nights start to be very fresh, so end of October, most of the time in Bordeaux, the three phenomena, the cold water from the Ciron, the warm water from the Garonne, and the fresh nights, provoke fog in the morning. And it's really on this specific place around the Ciron. So that means in all the appellations, Sauternes, Barsac, and Cérons on the left bank, and Cadillac, Sainte-Croix-du-Mont, Loupiac on the right bank.
Mm-hmm.
So that produces fog, and this fog helps the development of this fungus, the Botrytis cinerea. And this fungus arrives on the over-ripened Sémillon grape variety, makes some hole in the skins, and help to have a concentration by the evaporation of the water. So, and suddenly at 11 o'clock, every day, the good year, every day, the sun arrives and we have hot evenings, hot afternoons, and you have a concentration of the berries by evaporation thanks to this botrytis.
Okay.
Voilà.
All right. Now that's a really good, nice explanation, actually. I understand that the difference between grey rot and botrytis, same mold and fungus, the only difference is that if the grapes aren't physiologically ripe, then it's not very good and it's grey rot, whereas once the grapes are physiologically ripe, they don't it doesn't matter so much. And then for, you can call it noble rot or botrytis. Is that right?
Well, when we use this cup sulfate to treat again the botrytis, the grey rot,
yep.
For the red and the dry white. But you don't treat again for the sweet wines
no,
in the
that
vineyard.
Makes sense.
We are very careful to have separated grapes. So as we prune the vineyard, we are very careful to have very regularly concentration of grapes on each vine, to have no agglomeration of grapes, and to have no gray botrytis, but only golden grapes exposed to the sun. And as the botrytis arrive, it's a noble rot and not a gray rot.
Yeah.
But it's the same fungus.
Okay, so you're saying that you pick the grapes quite late.
Mm.
Do you? I presume you must hand harvest them. Do you make multiple passes through the vineyard, or how do you do the harvesting?
Depending on the years. I remain one of my first year in Château de Sérons was 1990, and we did 12 selection.
12 passes through the vineyard, yeah.
12 passes, so that was very long. And I remember we had fermenting wines for Christmas. So that was a long, long picking and a long fermentation after.
Yeah.
And it was a great year, this 1990. But a year like 2017, you know, it was a difficult year.
Yeah.
We did 3 different paths. So that was great. So we do our best. And we are very careful, and we are going into the vineyard every day. 2 times, 3 times a day to see each plot, because you can imagine a grape attacked by the botrytis can turn and can be extraordinary. But if it's raining, if you have one drop of rain, you lose everything. So we really have to be careful every day, every hour. And the quality of sweet wine comes from the decision you took in the vineyard during the picking. That's
yeah.
the most important thing. It's quite easy to ferment sweet wines. It's very, very difficult. The difficulty comes from the decision you take to pick or not to pick each plot, each grape.
Okay. In the winery, once the grapes have been brought in, I presume they go through a normal selection process into a tank, fermentation. You said that sometimes the fermentation takes a long time. I understand sugar is like a poison to yeast, isn't it? Like too high a sugar and the yeast struggles. What alcohol fermentation levels do you get with your wines? You know, what do they ferment up to?
They ferment up to 13.5.
Okay.
So it's not
similar to Sauternes and
exactly the same. Exactly the same. So they ferment in oak barrel direct. So you receive the grapes and you put it in the tank, and after just for the maceration, and after you put it directly in the barrel, and the fermentation starts from itself. And
You don't do yeast inoculation?
No,
just
usually
wild
no.
fermentation.
No, you don't need it. Yeah. It's over ripen. You have a lot of yeast. It's a bomb. It's starting from itself.
Yeah, okay. And how long does the fermentation typically
depends.
Take?
Depends. It can. I told you, depending on the activity of the yeast and the activity of the temperature. But we let it as long as possible, and it stops from itself because the yeast are in the middle of the sweetness and alcohol, and they stop.
Yeah. So the sugar and the yeast and the sugar and the alcohol are a mix of poison to it, and eventually it gives up.
Of course. Right.
And do you age the wines in oak at all?
So we age in oak, of course. Mm-hmm. And Château de Sérons is very specific. We sell the wines after 10 years. So we just started to sell the 2009 vintage.
Oh, really? 10 years? 10 years of aging before release? Golly gosh.
It's extraordinary. But these sweet wines, they need time.
Yep.
Sweet wines, it's so interesting to taste it when they start to age.
Yeah.
For me, that's the most important time. Each vintage is a story. It's a chapter in a book, if you want.
Yep.
And for me, it takes time to open and to be really expressive and to have all these noble taste. For us, it takes time, yes.
Lovely. Just so the listeners can know where to get the wines, and then you've got a supplier, someone sells your AC Sorons in London. Who's that?
Yes, we work with Barry Brothers, so they follow the old vintages of Serrons since a long time, so that's very nice. They have 2001, they have 1998 now, and they just start to work with the 2009. And we work also with Lee and Sandeman since 1 year. I just visited the team this morning. They are extraordinary people, and I love this team. And we are very proud when we see our bottles in these nice places. So the UK is for us a very elegant market.
Lovely. And how much, do you know how much the wines retail for roughly in the UK?
You know, we are in charge of the estate, Xavier, my husband and me. Since 6 years, we just celebrated our 6 years. So I just started to sell the wines to Lee and Sandeman 2 years ago. So it takes time and the people have to discover it. So I think, I don't know, but for us, UK is 10% of the production.
Okay. And now I was asking what the wines cost at Lee and Sandeman.
Sorry. I don't know exactly.
I'll have a look on their website before we put the show out.
Yes, it's on their website. Sorry.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Caroline.
Merci.
That's brilliant. Cheers.
Cheers.